Bob Berg said, your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Grand Rising Freedom Crusaders, this is Ashley Casper Rising with you on the Grow Rich Mastermind here on the Good News Network. We gather here each morning, Monday through Friday, to remind each other what's possible in this life and learning the foundation of what is required to create a life of more freedom and abundance. Today is April 29th, 2026, and our enthusiastic host and the founder of this amazing call, Paul Hutchings, will be with us shortly. Paul Hutchings is a former call center cubicle worker who went from living in a 1984 single-wide trailer house to retiring debt-free in his early 40s. He has been a top producer of the home business profession since 2009, and he has co-founded a company that's paid out over $7 million in commissions. His main passion in business is to help lead the Freedom Crusade by inspiring and empowering others to achieve their financial goals and dreams in life. Now, before we hear from Paul this morning, I want to hear from all of you beautiful people. So as I unmute the lines, please let me know what your name is and where you're calling in from this morning.
Good morning, family.
Grand Rising family. It's Angela Mays in Northern California.
Hey, Mama. Hey, Angela.
Hey.
Donna
from Orlando.
Hey, Donna. Good morning,
Evan.
Hey, Evan.
Steve Scoresby from Utah.
Hey, Steve. Good to hear y'all.
Hey,
Steve.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Anita.
Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, Albie.
Good morning, Albie.
Hey.
Hey, Ricky, how you doing?
Jody. Hi, Rita Joy. Hey.
I see a special name on the screen. Her name is Joshna. Everybody shout out Joshna this morning.
Hey,
Ashley.
Hey,
Joshna.
How are
you? Are you kidding me?
I'm so happy that you're here.
Let's go, Joshna. Woo!
So good to be online.
Ashley, what's up there?
Where's Booker? You gotta wake him up, Albie. Albie's got the energy this morning. He's fired up and ready to go.
He's giving us laughter. Giving us laughter.
I didn't sleep in this morning.
That's good.
This is Kat from North Texas.
Hey, Kat.
Hey, Kat.
How y'all doing?
What's going on, Kat?
Doing fantastic.
How are you doing, Albie?
Hey, doing great. Where's Lori Sue?
Oh, okay.
She's holding that grandbaby, probably.
What's up, ninjas?
Oh, that's so funny. It's
very funny. Oh, wow.
All right, everybody. It's the top of the hour, and Paul has arrived.
I've been saying hello all this time muted. Hello, hello.
What's going on, everybody? Hey. Just so you don't get it twisted, I said, what's up, niches, with an N. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Christine O, great Freedom Crusader in our community, who gave us that funny phrase yesterday. We were on a mastermind, and I was not speaking. I was driving in my car, and I apparently had my line unmuted, but I didn't know. And I was just kind of listening, driving home. And then I just, for some reason, said that phrase out loud to myself because I'd heard it earlier on. And then all of a sudden I started hearing everybody, I hear you, Paul. And Robin Williams said she thought it sounded like the other word that didn't start with N. And I said, no, I didn't say that. Anyway, welcome to the call, guys. This is the Grow Rich Mastermind, a place in a space where Freedom Crusaders get together on a daily basis to recharge, reignite, kick the tires and light the fires to see if we can get pumped up for the day and excited about life and learn some things, feel some things to move us. You know, life is all about movement. Progress is about movement. Business is about movement. You know, our our inner journey is about movement, I think. So anyway, this call is a call that's moved me over the years, both the ideas and the people. Thinking about some of the people this morning, I was working out and I was dancing, as I sometimes do when I'm working out, and looking at myself in the mirror, dancing in front of the mirror, and I thought of Ashley Casper. she's the dancing enthusiast in our community. I always think of her when I think of dancing, because she has these videos where she'll do dancing and just kind of like let loose and show people what it looks like to just not give a rip and to be in the moment and feel good about yourself and what you're doing, and to just be, just good with life and not caring about the opinions of others. I don't know, Ashley, if that's your intention, but that's kind of what I feel when I see those videos. So I was thinking about Ashley when I was dancing, and then I was listening to a song by NF. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of NF. If you like rap, rap's not for everybody. I shared some of these songs with Amy one time, Amy Starr Allen, and she's like, yeah, it's good lyrics. Rap's not my thing, but yeah, good lyrics. So might not be for everybody, but he's got music. I was telling my son, I was playing some of these songs for my son yesterday, and my son's like, he sucks. I'm like, well, I don't think so. I think he's a multimillionaire from his music. I don't think you could say he sucks. But that's what my son was saying, because he didn't like it. But I said, he's got meaningful lyrics. And he was in this one song, he was talking about how he left God for a long time, the feeling of God or the connection with God. And then when he came back and reconnected, God didn't, the line was, God didn't care that I was Christian or not. And then the song was basically just about like God was just happy and in love with the soul that decided to seek a higher connection. And when I heard that line, didn't care if I was Christian or not, of course I thought of Minister Christian. What's up, Minister Christian? Hope you're doing well. So yeah, the people have moved me and continue to move me. It's the ideas and it's the people, it's the principles and it's the people. We have such great people here, people who are committed. And that's rare, guys. I don't know if you realize how rare it is to find somebody that is committed to something, committed long-term, storms, rain, hell or high water, whatever that means. High water comes, I guess you build a boat. Hell comes, you keep going, as Winston Churchill said. You keep pushing. But people who are just committed to a vision and committed to showing up in life and facing business and getting it done and trying to do it with a smile, and trying to lift others up along the way. That's who we've got here. And I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for all of you. So give yourself a pat on the back. I see you. I see what an amazing person you are. I see how unique you are in the world. And I want to say, keep up the good work. Keep going. Thank you. You make a difference. You mean a lot to me and to the people who hear your voice. So yeah, there's that. And the vision here is freedom through principle-centered leadership. So we want to help people build lives of freedom, financial freedom. And part of that is building residual income. So we talk about success principles, ways of being, ways of thinking. As Wallace Waddle says, we're reading a book right now called The Science of Getting Rich, and he's got a great phrase that I've repeated many times over the years. Wealthy people think and act in certain ways, and if wealthy, is that what he said? Yeah, if wealthy people think and act in certain ways, excuse me, and my thought always was, well, if I can learn how to think and act like wealthy people think, then maybe I can become wealthy, or free is another word, free. And it's worked out really well. I started in a trailer a little over a decade ago, and through these ideas and through persistence and through bold, dogged determination to show up every day and do it no matter what, and some great mentors, of course, I was able to build a life of freedom for myself where Now I'm double retired in my 40s, as I sometimes like to say, where I don't necessarily have to work, but I work because I want to. I work because I believe in the vision. I work because I want to help more people build freedom. I work because there are things in the world that can be better. And isn't that a reason to work? You know, you wake up and, hey, there's something you can make better, whether it's yourself or a website, a child, maybe you're raising a family, a garden. You know, summer's coming around here where I live, and we got the sprinklers going yesterday, and there are some dry patches in the lawn and some weeds coming up. You know, so there's things to make better. And what a good thing that is, that every day we have something we can wake up to and know that we can look forward to, because maybe it's because we as humans have the power to make it better. What if we didn't have the power to make it better? That would be a dreary place to wake up every day, wouldn't it? Knowing that nothing can get better. But that's not how people are, and that's not how life is. It can all get better. And that's one of the reasons why I always find inspiration that it doesn't matter where you are at, you don't have to stay where you are at. You can go somewhere different. Like Jim Rohn used to say, the goose can fly only one direction for the winter. Can't fly south, east, or north, east, west, can only fly south. He said, a human being is not like a goose. We can choose the direction that we want to go, and we can, and that gives us hope for a better day, hope for a different tomorrow. And if we can play a small role in that journey that you're on, that makes us happy. So we show up every day to strive to do that. So that's what we're all about here on the Grow Rich Mastermind. So if that resonates with you, you're in the right place. But let me ask you, how are you feeling today? Are you grateful for the gift of another day? Are you excited to know that you're not a freaking goose? You can go wherever you want. If so, let's hear how you're feeling as we unmute the lines right now. All right. Well, let's do super fast announcements. Book of the month this month is called The Book of Elon by Eric Jorgensen. We have an enemy of character to be aware of this month, and that is indecision. Dun, 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 dun. Be a decision maker. Be decisive. We can be more decisive. So yes, good thought to think about there. We have an event coming up. It's called Freedom Fest, where we get together in person and others on the live stream to kind of fellowship once a year and teach and train and share experiences and mastermind and learn and celebrate success and feed hungry kids, because we donate all the money that we bring in from the ticket sales to Feed My Starving Children. So if you want to learn about that, head on over to, I think we changed it, actually. Yeah, hbafreedomfest.com still works. So yeah, you can visit hbafreedomfest.com and learn about that event if you want to check it out. And with that, oh, and if you're new here, if this is your first day on the call, we have a gift for you. It is the set of books that we study on a daily basis. And, you know, speaking of the Book of Elon, one thing he said in the book is he said, most people really underestimate their ability to learn. And then he said, learning is easy. All you got to do is read books and talk to people. Read books and talk to people. And as far as reading goes, you know, he's the wealthiest person in the world. And we like to study wealthy people, how they think, right? And when Elon was a young child, he read the encyclopedia because he ran out of other things to read in the house. And they say success leaves clues. I wonder if there's a clue there. The other thing he said that relates to this that I thought was good is to give yourself a wide view. Excuse me. He said, but basically he said, you want to give yourself a lay of the land. Get enough general knowledge that you can kind of look out and see, okay, I kind of see what's going on here. And if you give yourself a view of the landscape, then you can more clearly see the direction that you want to go. And reading can help with that. And also talking to people can help with that. Listening to other ideas can help with that. Will Durant said, philosophy is to have a wide view of things, to have a wide view of things. So anyway, yeah, Grow Rich Mastermind Collection, get back to whoever invited you here today, and they will get that to you free of charge. And with that, I'm going to ask Angela Amazing Johnson to come out and help us with our major definite purpose. Are
Grand
you
Rising.
Here?
Hey,
Grand
my
Rising.
Hey, Grand Rising,
Angela.
I am here. Yes, yes. My Grow Rich family, I salute the divinity in you. My major definite purpose. It is now on or before, and I have in my possession, which has come to me from time to time over the interim. In return for this, I happily gave the most effective service in which I was capable of rendering in the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of a freedom crusader. I know that I have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see it before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It was awaiting transfer to me all along. At the time and the proportion I delivered the service I intended to render in return for it. I am so grateful that I have received these plans by which to achieve these desires, and I am following these plans as they are received, and there have been more and more plans received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand in myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such actions. Second, I realize that the dominating thoughts of my mind are reproducing themselves outwardly into physical action and gradually transforming themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I concentrate my thoughts for at least 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person that I am, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that amazing person. Third, I know that through the principles of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind is now seeking expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of even more self-confidence. Four, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will continue to endeavor until I have developed self-sufficient confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealthy position can long endure unless built under truth and justice. Therefore, I only engage in transactions that benefit all whom they affect. I succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I have eliminated a hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, cynicism, and egotism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I cause others to believe in me because I believe in them and in myself. I have signed my name to this formula, and I am committed it. I have committed it to memory, and I am repeating it out loud at least twice a day with full faith that it is gradually influencing my thoughts and my actions so that I am an even more self-reliant and successful person. Oh, divine providence, I do ask for more riches and for more wisdom, for to make wiser use of the riches you gave me at birth, consisting in the power to control and to direct my own mind and thoughts to whatever ends that I might desire in alignment with your will for my life, to prosper and to be in health, even as my soul prospers, according to 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, in the divine's name, amen, so be it. Back to you, my brother Paul. And I love you, my Grow-Rich family. Woo-hoo! Yes.
Yeah. We love you too, Angela. Thank you so much. Believe in you guys. Do you appreciate Angela? If so, let's let her know.
Excellent.
All right. We're going to be jumping into page 40 of The Science of Getting Rich. It's called How Rich Has Come to You. But first, a quick thought before we start the reading. Yesterday, my son, Kyson, he is my third son. And some of you who have heard my story might remember a part of my story where my wife came home from the doctor one day and from a checkup, because we'd had this newborn baby, and he went to his checkup with his mom. It was a two-week checkup, and she came home in tears because the doctor had said he needed a surgery on his head because he had a condition called craniosynostosis, which meant the bones in his head were fused together. So this procedure was basically where they cut out like this inch strip all the way across the top of his skull, and he had to go down to Primary Children's Hospital. And it was a crazy part of my story, really, because I had quit my job. My business wasn't working. We were living in a trailer, and then that happened. Our insurance had just expired because the job that I had quit had the insurance, and the insurance expired. So that was kind of one of the low points in my journey. But anyway, Kyson, that kid, well, now he's 16 years old. And yesterday, let me preface this. So he's doing all kinds of cool stuff in his life. He's playing baseball. He's building a trailer in shop class. He's constantly going. He's fixing up four-wheelers. He's making deals on Facebook where he's selling stuff. He'll buy something, fix it up, and sell it. Or he'll just buy something and turn around and flip it. And he does all of this just out of his own choice. He's just, I don't know, he's just a go-getter type of a kid. And in fact, a week or so ago, his mom, my wife, Corrine, said, "Man, Kyson's so busy. I wish he would just slow down a little bit and relax. He's just always got something going on." And then that very day when she said that, he came home and he said, "All right, I got to go. I'm coaching a little league baseball team." We're like, "You're doing what? You already got so much going on. Now you're going to coach a little league baseball team?" It was literally right after Corrine said she wished he would slow down. So anyway, so that's the kid. Well, he borrowed $120 from me because he needed some wood for this trailer that he's building in shop class. And yesterday he comes home and he's like, "Hey, Pops," that's what he calls me. "Hey, Pops, how much do I owe you?" And for that wood, I said, "I don't know. I don't remember." And he looked on his bank account and he pulls out a wad of cash and he pulls out a $100 bill and another 20. And he's like, "All right, here you go. Here's your money back." And I was like, "Wow, thank you. I appreciate that." I said, how'd you get the money to pay me back?" And he's like, "I sold those goose blinds." And I said, "What goose blinds?" He's like, "Well, those goose blinds that I bought on Facebook Marketplace." I said, "How much did you buy them for?" He said, $175. I said, "How much did you sell them for?" He said, $275. And I said, "Oh, so and I was kind of joking with him. I was like, "Oh, so you were sitting there thinking, gosh, I owe my dad this money. I don't really want to pay him the money. How can I get someone else to pay my dad the money?" And then you went out and got the $100. And he started smiling a little bit. And then later on, I went and sat down by him. I said, "Hey, Kyson, you know what Jim Rohn used to say?" And he's like, "What, Dad?" And I said, he said, "Profits are better than wages." And I said, "Do you know what that means?" And he's like, "Yes, Dad. You've only had this talk with me like 100 times." So I guess I'm sometimes a little overboard on trying to help my kids understand things. But I thought that was cool. That was just a cool little – he's always inspiring me. And I tell him, I'm like, you just blow me away, you know, how he's just always – doing something. He's always got something he wants to do. And that's a good formula. So I wanted to share that with you. And with that, let's get into chapter 6, How Riches Come to You by Wallace Wattles. When I say that you do not have to drive sharp bargains, I do not mean that you do not have to drive any bargains at all, or that you are above the necessity for having any dealings with others. I mean that you will not need to deal with them unfairly. You do not have to get something for nothing, but can give to every person more than you take. And I was thinking about calls to action this morning for some reason. I know I'm weird. Working out, thinking about calls to action. How do we make effective calls to action in a Facebook post or a YouTube video? And the thing that really, I think, makes call to actions effective is strong belief that the thing you're inviting someone to take a look at really has the potential to change their life. And that feeling that you have inside of you when you give a call to action, I think that transfers through. Zig Ziglar said, success is not a thing in the world, but a transference of feeling. So the words do matter. They do matter, but the feeling also matters. And I think we can really pack the belief into that thing, in that call to action. And we don't have to be forceful about it, but I think that helps a lot. And a call to action is nothing more than making an offer. So when he says we don't have to drive sharp bargains, we don't have to drive sharp bargains, but we do need to drive bargains. We do need to drive offers. We don't have to make sharp offers, like hardcore forceful offers, but we do have to make offers. And we have to be comfortable with making offers. We have to be comfortable with asking people, are you open to taking a look? Hey, if you want this benefit, you might want to go here and check it out. It's pretty awesome. I think you'll like it. Like you have to be really, really comfortable with that. Part of being comfortable with that is being comfortable if people say no, or being comfortable if people don't do it, and realizing you cause zero harm to anybody when you give a call to action. Zero. Unless you're like yelling and swearing at them or something, which I don't think anyone's doing, but there's no harm. I think it's important to really be at peace with that. Like, make as many offers as you can, make as many calls to action as you can, as long as you're doing it combined with some value, as long as you're doing it combined with good intentions. Why not? Why not? So yeah, I like that idea of being really comfortable and excited to give calls to action. You cannot give everyone more in cash market value than you take from him, but you can give more in use value than the cash value of the thing you take. The paper, ink, and other material in this book may not be worth the money you pay for it, but if the ideas suggested by it bring you thousands of dollars, you have not been wronged by those who sold it to you. They have given you a great use value for a small cash value. Let us suppose that I own a picture by one of the great artists, which in a developed society is worth thousands of dollars. I take it to some remote island and by salesmanship induce a native dweller to give a bundle of furs worth $500 for it. I have really wronged him, for he has no use for the picture. It has no use value to him. It will not add to his life. But suppose I give him a gun worth $50 for his furs. Then he has made a good bargain. He has use for the gun. It will get him many more furs and much food. It will add to his life in every way. It will make him rich. When you rise from the competitive to the creative plane, you can scan your business transactions very strictly. And if you're selling any person anything which does not add more to his or her life than the thing you receive in exchange, you can afford to stop it. You do not have to beat anybody in business. And if you are in a business which does beat people, get out of it at once. Give everyone more in use value than you take from them in cash value. Then you are adding to the life of the world of every business transaction. If you have people working for you, you must take from them more in cash value than you pay them in wages, but you can so organize your business so that it will be filled with the principle of advancement, and so that each employee who wishes to do so may advance a little every day. You can make your business do for your employees what this book is doing for you. You can so conduct your business that it will be a sort of ladder by which every employee who will take the trouble may climb to riches. And given the opportunity will not do so, it is not your fault. And finally, just because you are to cause the creation of your riches from formless substance, which permeates all your environment, it does not follow that they are to take shape from the atmosphere and come into being before your eyes. If you want a sewing machine, for instance, I do not mean to tell you that you are to impress the thought of a sewing machine on thinking substance until the machine is formed without hands in the room where you sit or elsewhere, But if you want a sewing machine, hold the mental image of it with the most positive certainty that it is being made or is on its way to you. After once forming the thought, have the most absolute and unquestioning faith that the sewing machine is coming. Never think of it or speak of it in any other way than as being sure to arrive. Claim it as already yours. It will be brought to you by the power of the Supreme Intelligence acting upon the minds of others. If you live in Maine, it may be that a person will be brought from Texas or Japan to engage in some transaction, which will result in your getting what you want. If so, the whole matter will be as much to that person's advantage as it is to yours. Do not forget for a moment that the thinking substance is through all, in all, communicating with all, and can influence all. The desire of thinking substances for a fuller life and better living has caused the creation of all the sewing machines already made, and it can cause the creation of millions more and will whenever people set it in motion by desire and faith and by acting in a certain way. You can certainly have a sewing machine in your house, and it is just as certain that you can have any other thing or things which you want and which you will use for the advancement of your own life and the lives of others. You need not hesitate about asking largely. It is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom, Jesus said. Original substance wants to live all that is possible in you and wants you to have all that you can use and will use for the living of the most abundant life. If you fix upon your consciousness the fact that your desire for the possession of riches is one with the desire of the supreme power for more complete expression, your faith becomes invincible. I remember one time I had this thought. I was learning about authority and influence, and specifically the authority principle in influence. And I had the realization that, wow, there is no higher authority one could claim than to say, I speak for God, and God is telling me that you should do this, you know, because that's pretty up there, right, with the authority. And so, you know, that to me was just an awareness that I might want to be a little careful. Like sometimes I run into people in the market. In fact, I used to know somebody that started sending out emails telling people that, you know, God was telling him that he needed to recruit these people into this business. And, you know, when you pay attention to groups, I guess, and specifically if you ever want to go down the rabbit hole of studying cults, you know, which is very interesting to study cults, you'll see that one of the key errors in judgment in a cult that ends up being very damaging to people is the people are under the impression that their leader has the ultimate authority and thereby they are willing to do whatever the leader said because they're claiming that quote unquote authority. Now, how does this relate to what we just read? Well, I want to draw it back to what Wallace Waddell said. If you fix your consciousness, the fact that your desire for the possession of riches is one with the desire of the supreme power for more complete expression, your faith becomes invincible. So in other words, what we can do is we can use that ultimate authority principle on ourselves if we so choose. And it is about harmonizing our desire for a more abundant, free life with what we might imagine infinite intelligence, God, the, you know, whatever term you want to use to ascribe to a higher power. Can we harmonize our desire with what we might imagine is in harmony with the desires and wishes of that higher power? If we can, there is great power there for us. I think that's what he's saying. So anyway, he says, once I saw a little boy sitting at a piano vainly trying to bring harmony out of the keys. I saw that he was grieved and provoked by his inability to play real music. I asked him the cause of his vexation. He answered, I can feel the music in me, but I can't make my hands go right. The music in him was the urge of the original substance containing all the possibilities of life. All that there is of music was seeking expression through the child. God, the one substance is trying to live and do and enjoy things through humanity. He is saying, I want hands to build beautiful, wonderful structures, to play divine harmonies, to paint glorious pictures. I want feet to run my errands, eyes to see my beauties, tongues to tell mighty truths and to sing marvelous songs, and so on. All that there is of possibility is seeking expression through people. God wants those who can play music to have pianos and every other instrument and to have the means to cultivate their talent to the fullest extent. He wants those who can appreciate beauty to be able to surround themselves with beautiful things. He wants those who can discern truth to have every opportunity to travel and observe. He wants those who can appreciate dress to be beautifully clothed and those who can appreciate good food to be luxuriously fed. He wants all these things because it is himself that enjoys and appreciates them. They are his creation. It is God who wants to play and sing and enjoy beauty and proclaim truth and wear fine clothes and eat good foods. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do, said the Apostle Paul. The desire you feel for riches is the infinite seeking to express himself in you as he sought to find expression in the little boy at the piano. So you need not hesitate to ask largely. Your part is to focus on and express that desire to God. This is a difficult point with most people. They retain something of the old idea that poverty and self-sacrifice are pleasing to God. They look upon poverty as a part of the plan, a necessity of nature. They have the idea that God has finished his work and made all that he can make, and that the majority of people must stay poor because there is not enough to go around. They hold to so much of this erroneous thought that they feel ashamed to ask for wealth. They try not to want more than a very modest competence, just enough to make them fairly comfortable. I recall now the case of one student who was told that he must get in mind a clear picture of the things he desired so that the creative thought of them might be impressed on formless substance. He was a very poor man living in a rented house and having only what he earned from day to day, and he could not grasp the fact that all wealth was his. So after thinking the matter over, he decided that he might reasonably ask for a new rug for the floor of his best room and a coal stove to heat the house during the cold weather. Following the instructions given in this book, he obtained those things in a few months. And then it dawned on him that he had not asked for enough. He went through the house in which he lived and planned all the improvements he would like to make. He mentally added a bay window here and a room there until it was complete in his mind as his ideal home. And then he planned its furnishings. Holding the whole picture in his mind, he began living in a certain way and moving toward what he wanted. And he owns the house now and is rebuilding it after the form of his mental image. And now, with still larger faith, he is going on to get greater things. It has been unto him according to his faith, and so it is with you and with all of us. And that's chapter 6 of The Science of Getting Rich. So we'll go ahead and jump into the mastermind. One other last little thought as I was reading this book of Elon, and I may have mentioned this on one of the other calls, but I ran across this idea in there where Elon was talking about how a lot of people think that wealth is a fixed sum game. And I had to look it up. I was like, what exactly does this mean? Where does the phrase come from? You know, or a zero sum. That's the phrase, a zero sum game. And so AI was helping me understand that zero sum just means that there's a fixed amount in the world. And in order for one person to have, the other person must lose. And Elon was saying that that's a false, erroneous idea. And he was saying a lot of people think the pie is only so big. He's like, it's not true. You can make more pies. You know, the economy is productive. And as I was chatting with AI on this zero sum thing, I said, is this related to the idea that Wallace Wattles talks about in Science of Getting Rich, where if you deliver more in use value than you take from a person in cash value, that both people gain and no one loses? And then AI was like, wow, you're right on point. Yeah, spot on. That's exactly what that means. You're a genius, Paul. You know how it kind of like praises you a little bit. But yeah, that was the related idea, that if you always make it your goal to deliver more in use value than you take from someone in cash value, then both parties win. And I think that's such a great way to do business. And also, here's another related thought that you may not have thought about. If let's say you've got a home-based business, so a lot of people here are building a business from home, building a residual income. Let's say you got a home-based business and you think it's the best thing ever, and you got good price, good products, but you share it with someone who has no interest in building a business from home. Let's say that you somehow, through your sales and persuasion techniques, were able to get that person who had no interest to buy what you had. Now, what you have is a good deal, and there's a lot of really great things in the thing that you have. Have you done that person a service or a disservice? In my opinion, you've done them a disservice because they didn't want the thing. So it doesn't matter how good of a deal it is. It doesn't matter how cheap it is. It doesn't matter how good the products are. If the person didn't want it, you have done them a disservice. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't lots of people who will benefit greatly from the thing that you have. And those are the people that we want to find. So I don't know, understanding this for me just makes it so I am totally fine when somebody says no. In fact, I tell people, if this isn't for you, I don't want you to join. Like, why would I? Because I don't want to, like, do you a dirty, you know? Like, I only want you to buy this if it's going to help your life, if it's in alignment with where you want to go. So when we can see this and realize that, you know, no's are no's, yes's are yes's, and no's are great because they're giving us an opportunity to not do someone a dirty because they didn't want it. So be happy with the no's when they come, I say. So that's it. I'm going to get off the pulpit here and we'll jump into the mastermind. Please keep in mind this is not a company specific call. So please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are a part of the call. Brevity and relevance appreciated in your comments. And I think we're ready. Star 6, come on out. Love to hear your thoughts. Let me check the line. All right, Star 6, who's first? Anybody here?
Mark.
Hey, I heard Mark. What's up, Mark?
Yes. Hey, Paul, good to hear you. On fire as usual, dropping gems. That's what you do while you're at the gym. You're dropping gems, Paul.
Thanks, man.
Just a couple thoughts here. All this material, all the roads seem to point to the image that you have of yourself and that the thoughts you have as you take this quote-unquote thinking stuff and change it into material stuff. So all those roads seem to be leading there. Now, as relates to your story about your son, as he's taking things off of the internet and reselling them, it reminded me of an experience that I had back when I was in school many moons ago. Well, every day I'm in school now, but that's a whole other story. But anyway, I saw an ad for a bike, and this is all pre-internet. You know, internet was just kind of coming into everybody's reality. But it was a sign on a board that had a bike for sale, and it said $60. And I was like, I can really, really use that. So I called the number, and the guy told me to meet him at a certain place. So I got there, and there was two gentlemen there. It was one person was holding the bike, and the other one was the one I was talking to. He said, okay, $60, give it to me. So I gave him the $60. He took $40, handed it to the guy with the bike, and then the gentleman with the bike handed it to me. And I was like, wow. Do that. And it was just I thought about that over the years, and it was all it was his confidence and his belief in himself. And so he took that thinking stuff and he turned that thinking stuff into something that was mutually beneficial for everybody involved. So that's my thoughts for the day, Paul. Back to you, doing a fantastic job. F-R-E-E-D-O-M, freedom. Thank you.
Hey, Mark, I love that story so much. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, a lot of people would look at that and say, oh, man, that guy ripped you off. Like, you should have just went to the guy selling it for 40. The other, it's like, no, he didn't rip you off. He created value for you, value for the other person. And then he collected the profit in the middle. So, so good. Thank you, Mark. Star 6, who's next? I heard someone else coming out with Mark. Who was that?
Donna.
Hey, Donna.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's funny.
I'm over in Tampa. I'm going to a conference, a Life Surge conference. Don Maxwell is going to be there. I'm so excited. But anyway, while I was had to drive over to Tampa, I went ahead and downloaded the Book of Elon. So I said, well, I'll get caught up on that Book of the Month while, you know, make use of my time while I'm driving. And thank God that I did that, because the traffic was horrible. It was like a parking lot all the way from Orlando to Tampa, which is normally like an hour and a half drive. It took me like 3 hours. So I got a good part of that book done, but I thought that there was a lot of really interesting things in the book about one thing that he was talking about how he got bullied really bad as a kid. And I had heard this on another, like on a YouTube video or something, where he got beaten within an inch of his life by these big bully kids. And he said he made some statement about, and you folks are upset about what somebody says to you to hurt your feelings. This is nothing like having a punch in the face, you know. So I was just, I don't know why that just kind of stood out to me, because he said when he got older, I guess he's pretty big and big dude now. And so he said, nobody bullies me anymore. So anyway, I don't know why, for some reason that jumped out at me about the book, because it was like sometimes we get our feelings hurt when it's not going to hurt us physically, and then we just need to suck it up, buttercup, kind of, and keep going, you know, and keep what you said about no in mind, because if this isn't for the people, you know, if I've totally given my business to my higher power, and I've told him I only want the people in my business that are supposed to be there, then if they say no, then that means that they're not supposed to be in my life, they're not supposed to be on my team, or whatever. And I do that with everything, friends and everything, because if somebody's not supposed to be in my life, I don't want to chase after them and have them in my life. So that's what I got so far from it, you know. And thank you for hosting the meeting. And Angela, thanks for doing a great job on reading. And thank you, Ashley, for being behind the scenes. And thank you, everybody, for being here and being on our team. I love it.
I love it. Thank you, Donna. Tell John Maxwell that Paul said, what's up? Just kidding. He won't know who I am. that's cool. You're over there, and be sure to bring some nuggets back. I like what you shared about the Elon thing. I think it's a good idea to strive to use words in a kind, uplifting, loving way. And it's also a good idea to develop thick skin so that words don't, you know, hurt us and stop us, and the criticism doesn't, you know, knock us off course. And we need that. We need that. We need that. So good thought. Clear the line.
Kevin Souza.
Hey, Kevin. Come on out.
Hi.
Good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. Good to hear yours, and good to be here. just nice to be here. Very nice to be here. I just wanted to touch on something that Napoleon Hill discussed in his chapter on how riches come to you. And one particular place, he said, hold the mental image of what you want with the most positive certainty that it's on its way to you. And have unquestioning faith that it's coming, and never speak of it, think of it in any other way than as being sure to arrive. And the last thing he said in that paragraph was, claim it as already yours. He didn't say, claim it as if you've already achieved it, because the word if is not faith. As though you've already achieved it, now that's faith. And I remember vividly back in 1985, I had an impasse. I mean, I was at an impasse in my first home business. I had been in it for 7 years already by then, and I wasn't succeeding. But the thing is I knew why, because I wasn't taking consistent action. And I knew why, because I didn't have the faith. I did not have the faith. I had the desire, but desire is not enough. you know, you need to color your desire with faith, because that's what brings it to life. Color your desire with faith, because that's what brings it to life. And so I just thought, well, let me jump on this call this morning. And then all of a sudden, when you read that, which was really at the near the very beginning of the chapter, it just brought back that memory of where I was in my business. And what happened to finish that story is my mentor, who had enough faith in me, that's key, said, Kevin, you know, you can do it. You know, why don't you schedule appointments for me? And there was I was selling payphones, actually, through that company. And I said, okay, so I'll do that. And sure enough, his faith ignited mine. And so remember that when you're working with someone who just doesn't have that belief, and many people won't admit they don't believe, because then they feel like, well, I'm not in the right place, because here I am, everybody here is believing, and I'm not. Well, that faith that you have, and that person that you have that you're helping in whatever business that you're doing, it's your responsibility to help impute that value of faith, because who knows, maybe that's the one thing that's missing, that one puzzle piece that will catapult them to taking the consistent action necessary for whatever it is that they want to achieve. So I just want to say that, and it's great to be back, and back to you, Paul.
It's great to have you back, Kevin. Love it. Color your desire with faith. Yeah, thank you so much. And I think I heard someone else coming out with Kevin.
Sure.
I thought that was you.
Paul, it's Sean.
Sean, hey, come on out.
Good morning. Good morning. Great call, Donna. I hope you enjoy Life Surge. Went with two of the daughters going on 2 weeks ago now, and it was pretty good. It was pretty cool to see John Maxwell in person, and Ed Milet too, and the other speakers they had. I got to admit, never been much of a concert goer, but seeing someone like John Maxwell in person, I think, was better than going to a concert, even though, you know, it wasn't like his full day thing. So, and I was just thinking, as you were talking about your son selling stuff off the internet or off Facebook Marketplace, isn't that, I think that's arbitrage. And, you know, I'm on this construction site, which is doing the safety medic thing here, and the building's about complete. It's a school, and there's one contractor that I spoke to the workers when I was at a different site, and it's a huge company now in Rhode Island, and the guy basically started as a demo guy, a scrapping guy. So he built his business by flipping everything he scrapped. So there's so many ways to create money these days, especially with the power of the internet. And, you know, when you talk about arbitrage, I think it's probably the oldest thing, right? I mean, farmers use their cows to make money, their vegetables. You can sell junk. You can get something off the internet and sell it for 20 more bucks than the person you bought it from. And there's just so many options today. And I had a new worker with me yesterday. I was training her on how we do things, and she's 24, and I started speaking to her about some of the stuff we talked about here, and she's like, wow, I've never, like, heard of this stuff. And I forget sometimes that there's people out there that haven't been tuned into this. I forget sometimes that there was a time that I had no clue about any of the ideas of freedom money principles and cash flow and pipeline money and the fact that it's possible. You just got to do the work. And in today's distraction society, sometimes it's hard to tune in and focus and do that work. But those are my thoughts for the morning. Appreciate everybody. Have a great day.
Arbitrage.
Yeah, great word. Thanks, Sean. Great thoughts. Star 6 is next. Come on out.
Hey, Paul. What's up, Albie?
Hey, Paul. Oh, we got Albie and Rita Joy.
Rita Joy, yeah. Go ahead.
I had a feeling. Thanks, Albie.
Thank you, Albie, the king of laughter. I appreciate your chivalry. Hi, Bob. Hi, family. So let me just get started, and I'm going to watch the clock and try to be fast. Paul, I just love you from the bottom of my bottom.
That's a visual.
You always get me. I have no intention of coming out, and yet what you said and how you said it just got me, and here I am. So harmony, such a strong word, and such a easier said than done word sometimes. So just, I wanted to just own the fact that I'm one of those people. I crave harmony. I feel like it is something that I'm good at. And harmony is not just music, you know, it's your energy in all situations. And so here's to harmony. And I wanted to talk about it being a family affair and how I love puzzles, and I just finished one of the coolest puzzles I've ever done, and it was a tree of life, and it reminded me of our logo, and every single colored leaf, there's all rainbow colors, every leaf was unique. There were not two leaves in that whole puzzle, and there's probably hundreds of leaves on this tree, and not any two of them were the same. So I could pick up a piece and find the uniqueness in that piece and then go to the picture and find the leaf. And I knew exactly where that piece was. It was such a fascinating journey. But I wanted to bring that up because we're like a puzzle. And we all are an individual piece, and yet we come together and make this phenomenal picture because of our connection. And I don't know, I hope that's resonating with someone, because that's what I feel like we are. And speaking of family affair, my sister Deanne came back last night and to stay with Mama this week so that I could go spend the night with our client that and friends that we've known. Been taking care of their dogs for 13 years, and they're going to New Orleans for Jazz Fest. And if Christian wasn't going to court today, he would be here making this money on this pet sitting gig, because we get to spend the night for 5 nights, and that's good money. But speaking of Christian, please pray for him. Today's his day in court where it's, you know, his brother against him. And so I know he earned the Firestarter Award, but I've been telling him this year, instead of going for the, because he's good at starting fires, but if everybody starts a fire, then everybody gets burned. And I told him, I said, this year let's go for the Faith Like Water Award, because faith can be like fire, and it surges and it gets real hot and bright and then it burns out. And faith like water flows like the river of life. And, faith like water. So here's hoping no extra fires are started at the court today. And I guess that's all. I love y'all so much, and I'm just so grateful. And Paul, just speaking of business, I'm one of those people that I haven't done anything with my home business. I mean, I haven't, but I will, and I feel it. And Kevin's words really helped me, because it's all in divine order. You know, I can feel, I cannot wait to touch hundreds and thousands of hearts just by getting them all together on an email list and sending out a love letter once a week or once. I know there's people out there that would love to keep up with my story, and I love being an open book. I'm so good at sharing myself. It's almost like the rabbit hole that I purposely avoid going down, because I know once I get down there and start swimming with all the, you know, comments and responses. In the meantime, I need to be out here taking care of Mom 24/7, so I just haven't gone there, but I know that I will, and I love that you love me no matter if I've done anything.
Yeah, as you were talking about that, I haven't done, I'm like, who cares? Like, you'll do it when you do it, if you want to do it.
When I do it, it's like, ooh, Katie barred the door. It's really going to be awesome. I can't wait to do it. And thanks to everybody on this call. Now, I used to talk to Kat every single day. We're like such dear friends, and I don't ever talk to Kat anymore, not because I don't love her or any of y'all that reach out and call me and I don't call you back. It's not because I don't want to nurture our connection. It's just because I don't know what it is, but I'm just having to just stay to myself and take care of Mama. I don't know why I'm crying, but even though if I don't reach back to y'all, I feel your love, and I'm sending you love, and thank you so much.
Yeah.
That's all. Bye.
Well, I'm glad you came out. I'll be just in a second. I'm glad you came out, Rita Joy. You were another one that was floating in my mind this morning as I was working out, I love what you shared. And one thing that I wanted to highlight there is sometimes people get really out of sorts when they can't get you on the phone, or when you don't return a call, or when you don't show up in their life the way they demand you to show up in their life. But we have to remember that everybody's got stuff going on. You know, Rita Joy's helping her mother who needs her right now, and that's what she's doing. And Rita Joy, I don't think you should feel any sort of guilt for anything. You're doing everything you're supposed to do. I have this experience in my business where I have responsibilities on my plate that they affect, like the work that I do or don't do really does affect a lot of people in a big way. And I have been less able to just be available for every single person that wanted to get on the phone with me. And I've had to tell people, I'm sorry, I just can't. I don't have the time right now. And then to see the responses that sometimes they send me, you know, like people just don't get it. They think I'm making a judgment on them or I'm being mean to them. And it's not that at all. It's just that I have a family. I have responsibilities. I have projects that require my attention. And then you have to make a choice. Like if you can help five people here with this activity or one person here with this activity, and you have one block of time to do it, which one do you choose? You have to make a choice. And so all of that to say that I don't think we should feel shame or guilt for making those choices, Rita Joy. So hopefully you can release that a little bit and know that we all love you and support you. And you're doing, I think, what you should be doing, which is focusing on your mom and being there for her like she was there for you all the earlier years of your life. So let's from Albie. Albie, star six, come out, man.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Hey, the L,
awesome,
the B,
awesome.
The I. Who's the man?
Oh, Paul. Thank you.
You're so kind.
That's great. Oh, man. I just wanted to say I really was inspired by your son, Kelson. Did I get it right?
Tyson.
Wow. Tyson? Or
yeah,
Tyson?
Kate
Tyson. Yeah. That's awesome. I absolutely love his energy, and yeah, I agree with your wife too. but I love that energy. Oh man, alive! That is so fantastic about how he turned that money into something that not only, you know, he made money back and was able to pay you back too, and just, you know, fantastic. You know, good thinking, and you know, very 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 really great. I also just wanted to say, you know, I appreciated Mike yesterday just sharing about how, you know, the odds were stacked against him, and you know, he just found the inspiration and the energy to do something that, you know, really really amazing and something he really loved, and you know, working from home, and his went after his dream. And And even though it was everything was stacked against him, all the, you know, and didn't even get the education, you know, that he had paid for, so to speak, you know, he still went out and made it happen. And that was really, really awesome. And I'm just really inspired this morning by you, Paul, and, you know, just the whole thing about how, you know, some people can use that, you know, God told me to. You know, God told me to, that you need to change or you need to do this in your life, you know. But it's like if you switch that around and actually realize that, you know, that the divine is inspiring you, but to be honest about it, you know, like for me, like I really believe that, you know, God has inspired me to help other people. And I use that in it is, you know, I use that truth in to help people. And I think it brings enthusiasm and amazing power to what you're doing, as long as you're not trying to abuse people and manipulate people. You know, it's like you can flip that around on the good side. I don't know. That's just my thoughts. Anyway,
yeah.
Love everything, Paul.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. There's nuance there for sure. And I think you hit the nail on the head is if you cross the line to manipulate or maybe, I don't know, like, I don't know. I feel like my personal feeling is that we all have the ability to receive inspiration and be guided and be inspired, and our path 100% may be divinely directed. And we have 100% ability to allow all of that to influence us as to the decisions we make and the things that we do. And then the danger zone, in my opinion, is where we then try to control other people with that. Like where we say, hey, not only is God telling me what I should do, but hey, God also told me what you should do. You know, like that's like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, you don't care about that one. You know? Anyway, yeah, good thoughts. Who knows?
You're right.
Knows?
You're right, Paul.
Figuring this out.
Paul.
Hey, Albie. Yes, is that Mama Elizabeth?
Yes, it is. I got a great story to end the call, if I may.
Yeah.
I talked a year ago about my granddaughter. I think many of you remember that I said, this one granddaughter had been very mean to me and said mean things, and to the point that she had a beautiful little girl named Clementine. She's my great-granddaughter. I've never seen her because of all the negativity and the toxicity. Well, what I did was in line of what you taught this morning, I've held the picture in my mind that I've in my picture, my hands are outreached to her, letting her know that I forgive her, I love her, and I welcome her back into my life anytime she wants to come. Well, I got a phone call from Jennifer, who lives in Austin, Texas. She called me crying, Grandma, I'm so sorry about what I did, and I want to be back in your life, and I need your help. I'm all alone with this baby girl. And it was just, I said, Jennifer, I didn't talk about the negative. I said, I'm so glad to hear your voice. And I know, I just want you to know I forgive you. And I'm so glad that you are back. And whatever I can do, I've always been here for you. And she was crying through her tears. But as thinking about another Mother's Day, that's when she really said some mean things to me on her first Mother's Day. Well, everything's changing, and I just want you to know you hold things in your mind long enough, that picture in your mind, in a certain way, it will be moving through the ethers, through her, through me, and now she's back in my life. I'm her grandmother, and I've got a great-granddaughter to see that life is good. In the midst of all the negative things that happen, you can't give up. And it's because according to your faith. It's with you. You can't give up. So thank you for letting me say that this morning. That's just one of many things that are happening. Just give up. Don't give up, folks. And hold that picture. But make sure you hold in the right picture. The right picture is so important. Thank you, Paul. Love you. Back to you.
Love you, Mama Elizabeth. And thank you for shining some of your divine light on all of us today to finish out the call. Thanks so much, everyone, for all your contributions. Thank you, Ashley, for getting us going this morning and helping behind the scenes. Let's get out there, take action, go for your dreams, and make it a great day. And hope you'll come back tomorrow and continue on this journey of freedom crusading here on the Grow Rich Mastermind. Love you guys. Take care. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Great call today.
Good morning,
everybody.
Good
morning. Have a great day, Mama
Elizabeth.
Have a great
day. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a great day, Paul.
Glory to tune. Okay, over and out.
Here we go.
The world is loud. It wants my eyes. Every screen, every headline feeding me the lies. Pull me left, pull me right. Tell me what to feel. Till I can't tell what noise from what is real. I've been down on the cold hard floor. But the ground's no place. I was made for more. Everyone's got an opinion on my life. How I look, what I choose, am I doing it right? I used to shrink just to make the room feel safe. Dimming every dream to give it comfort space. Every scar is proof I chose to fight. And I'd rather bleed than surrender all my life. There's a war inside.
side, and I know the feel.
I know the feel.
I choose my thoughts, that's my sword and shield. They said I couldn't,
said it couldn't be done. We are wired for war.
Came in Washington with an army of doubt.
He didn't flinch.
And Ford said, I'll build this whole earth. Figure it out. What the mind can't conceive, what the soul can't believe, becomes the world we lead.
Becomes the life we breathe.
Socrates said it, know who you are.
Know yourself.
And Aurelius said, you already hold the star.
Not your car, not your name, not what you've been told.
Your mind is the estate,
more precious than gold.
It's 5 a.m. It's dark, it's cold, the voices in your head
say stay in bed.
Aching muscles lie in rebellion, pretending they can't hear. But you didn't ask for their permission. The voice you chose is one of defiance. Self-mastery isn't the absence of fear. Authority. The ground is no place for a champion.